Okay, prayer requests. Andrew? I heard that there's some kind of bug going around. Jennifer, Clint?
My mom, she's got like a sinus infection and kind of upper respiratory thing going on. It started off with just allergies, but it got worse.
Yeah, well, now you got chemtrails and you got allergies. It's miserable. And D is still struggling with that sore in her leg. And also Joe and June, they're stabilized, but you know, it's a hard one. The enemy of the spiritual life is the world, flesh, and devil. And boy, you appreciate the difference as you get older. Your bodies just give you fits, and it's, you know, just trying to get through the day with all of our problems, it's a rough one. You go back, when you're kids, running and playing and climbing trees and, you know, everything working like it's supposed to, and now it's like I can barely walk. Who else? Lee?
This is Lady Cindy Love, and her daughter's got, just got married a year ago or so and got cancer.
Oh, gee. Garrett and Melissa, also, I'm thinking about putting a fence, a little short fence, to the one they built next door here, to over to the church, and keep people from getting down here and what have you.
Trash.
And trash, gosh. And if we have to, we'll put 8-foot fence around the whole darn thing. But prayers for that. And other things we need to do. Track rack, get that back up. By the way, we've got a bunch of new tracks in the back. You're all welcome to take them. There's several types right now. And hand them out to people. And at least it's a witness and a testimony that goes long after you walk away. And people do read those, believe it or not. I also need to get some more of the comic book tracks to put out in the back because somebody stole them when they broke in here. You know, they didn't have to do that. They could have asked for them. We would have given them to them. But let the thief steal no more. Who else? No other prayer? Appreciate your prayers for Joe and I. We're part of the older generation that are struggling with our junk, things that we have to go through. I do thank God that I've got two of my great-grandchildren sitting here taking in the Word of God. I got the best granddaughter in the world. So you guys are going to argue the point? As well you should. All right, let's bow for a silent prayer, and I appreciate your prayers for strength and energy for me. Father, we thank you so much for our salvation, and we pray that you give us the doctrines that will feed our new natures and the various soul problems that we wrestle with. Help us, Father, to have these things made clear to us in our spiritual walk with you, and that we might live in our priesthood. Because as priests, we have access to your throne. We not only will live forever, but we can come and talk to you about our problems, or you'll help us deal with our situations. And we pray this morning that we be greatly encouraged and edified, and that there be healing and health in our bodies and our souls. For everything you can pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, we are on faith. Standard approach for faith is needed for salvation, and maybe once in a great while we may need faith when we're going through or a loved one is going through a serious trial. But there are so many areas that we need to exercise faith in. One is in our prayers. When we pray to God, we need to be believing that he will grant whatever it is that we've asked him for. When we're under pressure, are you guys under pressure? Yeah. So under pressure, we need to exercise faith. When we're going through a serious trial, we need to exercise faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. My righteous one, even Jesus Christ, had to live by faith. And when he was facing the most horrible thing that he ever had to go through, is when he was grabbed by those savages and taken off in a kangaroo court and beat and punched and the crown of thorns stuck on his head and beard being pulled out. He had to go through that humiliation, and it was by faith. And when they nailed him to that cruel cross, it was by faith he hung there. And after he died, it was by faith that he journeyed down into Hades and preached the victorious proclamation. And by faith he waited for the Father to raise him from the dead. And by faith he waited for the Father to take him back to heaven. See? I don't think we ever think those things about the Lord. But he had to live by faith just like we did. So he had a heck of a trial to go through. Living in a degenerate society, we have to live by faith. And that's been my problem for quite a while, trying to get the negativity of what's going on outside of us, get it out of me, and live by faith in the Word of God. As I mentioned last Sunday, you have to consider the wicked. What is their destination? Lake of fire, hell. When their soul exits this body, they don't go up, they go down. They're brought up in the resurrection of judgment, then they're thrown into the lake of fire. So we have to constantly be reminding ourselves of where we're going to end up and where they're going to end up. And the persecutors, well, the one that was, that one Roman soldier, he says, Lord, remember me. You know, he saw, I mean, when they said, this truly was the Son of God, they saw it. But the animals in Jerusalem, they didn't see it. Well, they're down in hell now. I mean, what are they saying now? And we have to look at this from the standpoint that we're pilgrims passing through this land. This isn't our land. This isn't our nation. This isn't our home. These aren't our people. We're TDY, if you will. We've been assigned to this area to live here on earth for a certain period of time. And some live on the road, some live in a town or city, but we're just here for a short time. So we're going to a place that is our city, where we have our citizenship. It's where we belong. We don't belong here. I don't belong in Reading. I live here, lived here about 50 years. But it's not my home. We're just here for a short time passing through. There's a lot of metaphors you can, and have been used in life. This train is bound for glory. And that those hymns came out with the advent of the railroad. And it was such a remarkable thing that you could get aboard this big, shiny, new train in this town, get your seat, and you go across the United States of America, and you get out the next town. Amazing. It sure beats the old buckboard days, right? And sometimes people are picked up in this town, sometimes the next town, and they're all going to the end of the line, and that's heaven for us. Loss of loved ones, we need to exercise faith. Friends, no matter how you lose them, death or otherwise, we still lose them. And I don't know if you've ever suffered grief like that, but sometimes grief can hit you that way, that the person that you love most, anybody on earth, they've been torn out of your soul and you don't know what to do with it. You lived your whole life for that person and they're gone. Now the question is, what do you do? How do you live your life after that? After your wife dies or your husband dies or your mother or father die? How do you live your life when they were your life? Well, it takes faith. It takes faith when you go through a debilitating injury or surgery. What's the point of living? Well, you have to have faith. Faith that God has a plan for your life still in operation. So whatever that is, it's a plan for service, it's a plan for blessing. So you have to get your faith up inside of you and say, God's got blessings in store for me and yet ahead. So I'm glad I lived this long to see my little babies. You guys got your babies, I got mine. I'm glad to be around for all of that. Yeah, there's some heartache over those who are not walking with the Lord. That happens. But you have to rejoice over the ones that are. You got to look at the positive, not the negative. There's a lot of negative to hand around out there, but you got to learn to focus on the positive. And that's basically what you'll be doing most of your life. You need faith while sick, injured, or recovering. Especially when you feel like God is mad at you over something. You had to get that out of your head. And it takes a lot of doctrine, a lot of faith. Get back to getting your faith there. That's what old Gene Scott used to call it, the faither. What did he mean by that? Well, it's the ability to believe and to exercise your faith. And it's a volitional thing, you know, the ability to believe. You choose to believe. And that's, in a summed up nutshell, is what's going on. You can either choose to believe or not believe. You can choose to have hope or have despair. And it's our choice. And it goes back to, does God love you? Oh, I don't know. Well, he does love you. Well, prove it. He already proved it. How did he prove he loved you? His son dying on the cross for your sins. That is the testimony for all time. Tomorrow, by the way, is the, what do they call that? The solar eclipse. And the intersection where 7 years ago and today, there's two 111-foot crosses there. Two 111-foot crosses. Okay. That says something. I don't know what. The path it takes, that says, you can't make this stuff up. So what's going to go on? I don't know. It's going to take faith. Is America ripe for the judgment of God? Oh, yeah. And we see it going on. So I just don't see it. Well, you don't know what constitutes judgment. For example, the invasion of your nation by a foreign people. That's judgment. Being a lender instead of a borrower instead of a lender. That's judgment. The inflation of the dollar, the currency, and all those problems are all indicative of it. Anyway, while listening to the Word of God, I don't know if I've ever emphasized it, but I will now. I think it's of paramount importance that we build our faith up. Not next week, but starting today. Because whatever is going to go down, which none of us know, you need faith to make it through there. You need to have hope. And there are always reasons to have faith and hope as a believer in Christ. Even though the country may be destroyed. And I fought in the original nuclear war threat back in 62. When Russia had planted atomic missiles in Cuba, I can't remember, 20 minutes away, something like that. And we were under a serious threat of nuclear war. It was DEFCON 2, I think. It was second highest outside. DEFCON 1 would be war. And when we flew in the squadron off of Washington coast, we're out there. I can't even give you a word picture, like the cavalry charging to their death with their swords out joyfully. It was scary that you guys wouldn't know this. Well, most of you weren't here. But we were getting Russian subs off the Washington coast loaded with nuclear missiles. And that's what our job was, to hunt them down, to track them, and to destroy them. And we were flying 12 hours at a time out there looking for these Russian subs. So we were, what would that hit? Well, it would have hit Seattle, would have hit Portland, LA. I mean, those are long-reaching missiles. And we're worse off today than we were ever there. America and the traitors who control this government, they're psychos. They can't be reasoned with. They don't know, they don't care. And they're controlled by a sect of people, a tribe from Khazaria. They control every department in America. It's really serious. And their goal is to kill off 90% of all people. That's their goal. So to them, nuclear war is fine because that's what we want anyway. And you keep pushing Russia, North Korea, China. You have no idea. And all the guns in the world are not going to do any good, or all the good intentions. If somebody, by chance or by stupidity, pushes the wrong button, we have a serious problem. I had NBC warfare training as part of my training, and they talked about what would happen in D.C. I think the temperature is 2 or 3 million degrees. It pulverizes to dust, concrete. Nothing would live. D.C. would be a target. New York would be a target. Your naval bases would be San Diego, L.A., San Francisco, Oakland, all of these places. And it could, with the new missiles that they use, 8 times the speed of sound. They travel 7,000 or 8,000 miles an hour. Russia's got them. The Middle Eastern nations got them now. So either some whack job out there, and next thing you know, off we go. And it won't be like one and then everything stops. People just reflex push the button and, until a bunch are taken off. And this is happening right now. Israel is pushing the issue with the murder of women and children and Christians. A lot of Christians live in Gaza. And I'm not taking either one of them side, because I think they're all crazy as a rabid dog. And I just put that in God's hands and let him sort that out, because it's too much for me. We live in a very volatile time. The world has never seen anything like this. And even if that doesn't happen, you have the inflation, you have stuff going on right and left. So what do we need? More than anything, we need faith. We need hope. And our hope is not in this life. The Bible's clear. Our hope is in the next life. And our faith needs to be mixed up in there, that the Lord has put me here at this time in history. I have a part to purpose in this whole thing. And if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. But if it isn't, I'm going to serve the Lord in some way that I can. And I know at the end of it all, I will be with God and all of the redeemed. I'll see you on the seashore, standing on that beautiful diamond shore. And that's where I think we'll all meet up. So these are the things we need to motivate and put at the top of our priority. Every day, we got to concentrate on the idea of getting our faither up, getting that up inside of me that believes God. And what can I do to do that? See, that's what you're going to, each one of us have to do. We have to motivate ourselves to get our faith up. To me, what I do, I mean, confess a lot of sins, but what I do is concentrate on prayer, on going over the Word of God. That's what I need to do. Thou wilt never leave me nor forsake me. Thou wilt provide all my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So whatever verses that you know, you concentrate on those. And if you have to do it 10 times, do it 10. If you have to do it 100 times, don't do it 90. Do it 100. And you want to come away from that having your faith built up. And then you move on to the next verse. And then the next day comes around and you'll probably have to do it all over again. We need faith while listening to the Word of God. Do you believe it's true? Do you believe it's true for you? To me, the Word of God is reality. It is a reality. Christ says that his food and drink was the Word of the Father. We need faith in our business decisions, in career changes, in seeking God's guidance in our lives. Do you guys believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit leads you in the Father's plan for your life? You say, well, I've been here a long time. I don't know. He said, well, has he led you away? No. Well, if he led you here and didn't lead you away, what can you conclude? If he led you here and hasn't led you away, it's a trick question, what can you conclude? Right. That's right, Sharon. You're where you belong. You need faith between jobs or looking for a job, maintenance and repair on the house, the cars. I need tons of faith for that because it is so far over my head. I mean, I was watching car shows, and I think I understand the difference of what the transmission is and what the engine is. I know that's a joke, but that's how stupid I am. I know what the rear axle is in a car. I don't know what it does. I think it turns the wheels. And when I think of car repairs, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. So way too much. When I think of the bodies are so remarkably made. I don't know what to do. Do you guys know what to do with your bodies? We're still finding stuff out, and all the scientists are every day. So what mine is trust the Lord and go to the emergency room. I don't know what else to do. Say, what happens if you die? Well, then I guess I die. That's all I know how to do. We're confronted with thousands of things that are beyond our ability to comprehend. That's why it's important to get our faith up and our hope up. Raising children, oh my gosh. Do you need faith in raising your kids? And when did it stop? When they left the house? No, you're still doing it. Once you become a mother and father, you never stop being a mother and a father. It just goes on till you die. We need faith. Because the Lord said he'd help us, wouldn't he? He said he'd do that. Family problems. You're going to hear family problems, your kids, till the day you die. If you're not hearing anything, it's because their lives are straightened out. We need faith in our mental attitude towards life each day. even in spite of what's going on around us in the country, well, you need faith. You need faith that evil and wickedness, for example, has never lasted forever. It's always somewhere, someday, destroyed. And maybe another nation comes in and destroys the evil leaders. Sometimes the law catches up with them. But it never lasts forever. It's always stopped. And besides, this is the devil's world. He's not a kinder, gentler person. This is how he operates, by lies and deception, by murder and criminality and all this stuff. And people, I know, and again, the unsaved have the wrong idea. Oh, you Christians are always talking about the end of the world and Armageddon and all that. No, we're not. It's just you misconstrued what's said. Armageddon is not about the end of the world. It's about the end of Satan's rule of the world. He will, and all his cohorts are going to be judged. He will be thrown into the bottom of the pit. The others will, the beast and the false prophet, they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Then we'll have 1,000 years of peace. Well, what about after that? Well, Satan will be released from his cell. And he'll go up to the top side and start his crap all over again. Well, then why did God put him down there? Why didn't God take, God is going to eventually take him out, but why do you suppose God put him in a holding cell for 1,000 years? Give him a chance to repent. Give him a chance to admit he's wrong, to submit to Christ. Well, how did that work out? Well, he didn't. He won't. And he'll end up in the lake of fire. And then what's God going to do with all this mess? He's going to burn it. He's going to burn all of it. He's going to burn up the earth till there's not one molecule left of this earth. He's going to burn up the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that. He's going to burn all of that up. And all of the evil dirts are going to be burned up too. And then he's going to start over with a new heaven and a new earth. And none of the former things will be remembered in it. How long does it take to burn it up? Probably in a flash, twinkling of an eye. And it'll all be gone. But because God is a righteous judge, it has to be done rightly so. That's why there's a judgment, etc. So we have, like Peter talked about, he says, he's looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. We need faith when advancing towards God's grace objectives. God in his grace plan for our lives has planned many wonderful things, things for us to do, provisions, blessings. And like you take a young couple that gets married, that is realizing one of God's grace objectives for them. They got married. They get to spend the rest of their lives with someone they love. But they get married and little kiddies start to come. Now they get to enjoy more blessings because now they have children. And as they get older, the children grow up and they make children of their own. Now you got grandchildren. So you see, it's just blessing after blessing. You get to enjoy the company, a fellowship of fellow believers who are going down the same path in life that you are. That's pretty neat. So there's a lot of things that God has got in store for each one of us. And you just got to believe it. I mean, you really have to believe it because it'll pull you through. For me, 48 years has been nothing but horrible pressure. And every time I teach the Word of God, before that, nothing but pressure. For those of you who ever stood in the pulpit, you understand somewhat what you go through. But you have to go back to Ananka. What is Ananka? That's when you have the irresistible force, meaning the immovable object. The immovable object is that day, that hour, that moment when you have to stand up in the pulpit and teach. Or like you're being pregnant and delivering a baby. And every day, every second, you're going towards that. Well, you can hit Panic Palace any second along the way. But if you remember, under Ananka, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, will come upon you at the moment that you need it, and you'll go through it. See what I'm saying? One of God's grace blessings. So we'll stop here this morning. Father, we just thank you for studying the Word. We pray that we all might be healed in our souls and bodies and motivated in our lives by faith. For we thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen.